I'm Reverend Lynn Kerr for those people that don't get up in the morning. What we plan to do here tonight is show it's about a 10-minute video. Just quick background, a member of my congregation in Bowling Green, Ohio, put together a video, a 10-minute video, about the Supreme Court's decision to make marriage equality the law of the land. And it was shown to our congregation, to our entire congregation, the Sunday following, 2 days later, partly because we received a great deal of media attention in our neck of the woods. Partly because I was the only person in the area, the only minister in the area that was actually marrying same gender people. And also because I had received a number of somewhat threatening or at least very unpleasant phone calls and letters and notes under the door and a number of other things. And so the news media picked up on it, both the newspaper and one of the local news channels. So basically, one of the folks in our congregation put together a 10-minute video. So I just want to tell you in advance, it has a lot of me in it, and so I apologize. But it tells a story. And so then what we're going to do is after this video, we're going to open it up for comments, questions, celebrations, whatever we like. We'll have three mics. We'll have one up in the balcony, and we'll have two down on the floor. And we do ask that you use them so everyone can hear. Okay? All right, Cliff.
Live from WTVG Toledo, this is 13ABC Action News.
This sets up a dispute, a lot of it, between church and government, right?
I will primarily cite the Catholic Church. The conference in Michigan and Ohio both issued statements today on behalf of the Catholic bishops in both states. And they're saying marriage is still a man and a woman. It's been defined that way for thousands of years. They're not about to change the definition. They believe it's important for society. They believe it's important for family to have a man and a woman as the parents. So they're saying they're not going to do it. And there is some concern voiced by those two conferences that this now pits the government against religious entities. And are they always going to be at war? Because they definitely are diametrically opposed on this issue.
The Supreme Court and other courts, activist courts, are now stepping in to say the will of the people is not important.
Pastor Tony Scott from the Church on Strayer says this redefines marriage and really rewrites history.
I don't reject the idea that two homosexuals can live together in some kind of bond, whatever they decide. But marriage, traditionally, for 6,000 years, all the way through the Bible, has been defined as one man and one woman at one time.
525,600 minutes. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year?
One local church says they are prepared as soon as the Supreme Court makes a decision on gay marriage.
Plus, we get a look at a spot in the Glass City that holds a lot of historical value. That and more coming up on Toledo's Most Watched 5 o'clock newscast.
Now, from Toledo's News Leader, this is WTOL 11 News Now at 5:30.
I want to be part of this momentous occasion because I, for 18 years, have been performing commitment ceremonies.
A decision from the U.S. Supreme Court on same-sex marriage could be handed down in the next few days. It may be as early as tomorrow.
One Wood County church is preparing for that. Vanessa Faye shows us how.
If the Supreme Court rules tomorrow that the same-sex marriage ban is unconstitutional, Reverend Lynn Kerr will be here at the Wood County Courthouse ready to perform those marriages.
We believe in the inherent worth and dignity of all people, and that is why we are so active in the fight for the rights of all people, including marriage equality.
The Maumee Valley Unitarian Universalist Congregation Church in Bowling Green displays this flag outside all the time, signifying their support for same-sex marriage. Today, Reverend Kerr was at the Wood County Courthouse, ready in the event that the decision was handed down today. And she'll be there every day until a decision is officially made.
I'm an ordained minister. I will marry you on the spot if you like, or you can schedule a time to get married so that your family and friends can join us. You can get married in our church, or you can get married in a beautiful park or anywhere you like.
The Supreme Court decision has to be made by June 30th and again could come as early as tomorrow morning. Reverend Kerr says she and her congregation are looking forward to celebrating what some have waited for a long time.
We have many couples in our congregation who have been waiting, and so I know that there's several couples within my congregation who are going to be here, and they're going to get married. So they're thrilled that their own minister is going to be able to prepare to do a legal marriage for them.
Kerr says her congregation members will also be at the courthouse to celebrate with those who are getting married when the decision comes down. Reporting in Wood County, I'm Vanessa Fays.
Today's Supreme Court ruling, the remaining 14 states in the South and Midwest now have to stop enforcing their bans on same-sex marriage.
Melissa. That's right, Andrew. Because of that decision, this is now the law of the land. We go to Wood County, where we're hearing same-sex couples will be able to start getting married this afternoon. Vanessa Fays live for us from Wood County. Vanessa, what can you tell us right now?
Well, yeah, you guys, that's right. I'm down here live at the Wood County Courthouse. Now, around 1:30 this afternoon, the probate court is going to start issuing those marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Now, I'm joined now by Reverend Lynn Kerr of the Maumee Valley Unitarian Universalist Congregation. Now, Reverend Kerr, you're going to be down here all day preparing to marry these couples.
That's right. And they will stay open as long as they need to if they have a lot of people that have not gotten their licenses when they're getting ready to close. So we'll be here all day. And we're going to have people from our congregation as well who will have roses for people, and we'll perform marriages right here on the spot if they'd like.
Perfect. And now you've been preparing for this for quite some time. So what is it like for you that this day has finally come?
We are pretty excited. I mean, this is probably one of the most exciting days for our congregation and really for LGBTQ people around the nation. It's really just unfortunate that we are so excited about today, yet we are also so saddened because of the events in Charleston. So it's really kind of hard to balance those out today.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And again, Reverend Kerr will be down here at the Wood County Courthouse all day, ready to marry same-sex couples. So if you are looking to get married, you can head on down here. And again, the probate court will start issuing those same-sex licenses at about 1:30 this afternoon. Reporting live tonight in Bowling Green, I'm Vanessa Fays.
All right, again, it is the law of the land. Just to recap, the U.S. Supreme Court announcing that same-sex marriage is legal in all 50 states. We are also...
A historic day for equality. The Supreme Court making same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states.
Today should also give us hope that on the many issues with which we grapple, often painfully, real change is possible.
Even amid celebration, not everyone supports it.
I'm obviously disappointed.
But the same-sex marriages here in Northwest Ohio have already started. So what does this ruling mean for us? Toledo's News Leader has team coverage starting now.
And now to our team coverage on the Supreme Court's very historic decision today. We are live in Wood County where several couples have already tied the knot.
Plus, we are breaking down all the legal aspects of it all.
And we find out how an Ohio man helped to get the whole push underway. First to Christina Mutchler. She was there as the first couple in Lucas County signed their marriage license. Christine.
Well, Jerry, I was here earlier today, and while there wasn't a huge lineup of same-sex couples waiting to get officially married here in Lucas County, it was a very emotional day for all who were involved, and we were the only cameras rolling when the first couple to get married said, "I do."
I now pronounce them husband and husband. You may kiss your husband.
For Jim Shipman and Don Weiler, it's been a long time coming. And becoming the first same-sex couple to be officially married in Lucas County wasn't something they were expecting.
Oh my goodness. Exciting. Had no idea we were going to be the first couple when we came today. We thought there'd be a line and we'd have to wait and maybe we'd do it another day. But surprise.
Both say it was important to wait until same-sex marriage was legal in their home state of Ohio.
Being a resident of Lucas County, I feel that Lucas County is a place where they embrace things first and progress happens here first. And I'm happy to get married where I was born.
It was important for us to wait until we could get married in Ohio. Because I was born here, Jim was born here, we've lived here all our lives.
Jean Dominique and Marna Bachman also received their marriage certificate today after being together for 20 years.
I was in tears this morning. I mean, it means so much to us, but it means more for us, for them. It solidifies that we are a family. These girls are amazing. We had these girls together. They have two moms. They've never been ashamed that they've got two moms, and today we can be a family.
They say they'll go forward with the adoption process of their two young daughters, Jordan and Riley. And when asked about being a role model and inspiration for others, this was the response.
I certainly hope so. Boy, do I. I hope other young people out there are watching this and seeing what can happen someday in their lives.
We're just very proud to live in America right now.
Now, probate court does expect to see more same-sex couples coming down here to get a marriage license on Monday. And, of course, in the weeks to follow. Reporting live in downtown Toledo, I'm Christina Mutchler.
Well, down in Wood County, the probate court has been issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples since 1:30 this afternoon. Several couples have been in and out all day long to make it official. That is where we find Vanessa Faze, who shows us the first couple who got married in Wood County today. Vanessa?
Well, yeah, you guys, that's right. We were down here at the Wood County Courthouse for that first marriage today. Merle Peoples and Jonathan Parsons have been together for 20 years. They said as soon as they heard the news, they came right down here to make it official.
It's a sense of freedom, liberation, out of the shadows.
This is Merle and Jonathan. They've been living like a married couple for nearly two decades, but today they were part of history. They're officially married. When I asked them if they ever thought they'd see the day, they both agreed they had their doubts.
This is another major move in our 70s, and as they say, the best days are yet to come.
We've basically gone ahead with our lives as if we were already a couple, and now it's official.
And they've got plans to celebrate their special day with their families.
We're going to have a celebration later in the year in the garden, and they'll be there.
Now, Reverend Lynn Kerr from the Maumee Valley Unitarian Universalist Congregation here in Bowling Green has been down here at the courthouse all day celebrating these marriages. She's also scheduling marriages for the future. Reporting live in Bowling Green, I'm Vanessa Faze.
And you'll just need to raise your hand if you want to make comments or questions. The one thing I would like to share with you that happened is on Thursday I was at that courthouse and I went to the commissioner's office and asked, you know, what is legal for me to do? You know, may I perform marriages inside the courthouse? And they told me no, I was not allowed to do that. And I said, well, this is a public building. And they said, yeah, but you can't do that. That evening, I was called by the head of security in the courthouse, and he said, would you please come and see me in the morning when you arrive? And I did not know what to expect. When I arrived, he took me into his office, he shut the door, and he said, the probate judge
has decided that you may perform marriages inside the courthouse, and even your congregants may be there with balloons and flowers. We do not want bad publicity. So he said, as long as no one is, you know, disturbing the court's business, you may stay. And so we spent the entire day taking over the atrium of the courthouse and had a wonderful time. So. And to date, I have done 7 since July 3rd. So questions, comments, go ahead.
I've been, ever since I graduated from law school, been struggling in various capacities to try and see some improvements in social justice in our country. I've worked as a poverty lawyer. I've worked as a lawyer in environmental work. And since joining the Unitarian Church, it took me a while to sort of understand what was happening with people who were not of heterosexual gender identity. But I certainly very quickly saw what it meant in terms of the loss of dignity of these people who were in every other way certainly deserving of all the human rights that everybody else is. And a few years ago, at the UUA was helping to fund banners for our churches that said things. I think the one that we have hanging on our church for the last 10 years now said, civil marriage is a civil right. And I have to tell you, it's with great joy that I can report that we are starting to think about what's going to be the next slogan on our church. I have to say, I have never been associated with the winning side on one of these issues. You know, I've seen progress, but I've never seen anything like this before. I am just so proud to have been associated in some little way with it. I think we all can take a great deal of pride in having stood up for our brothers and sisters.
Hi there, so I'm Laura Howe, and I want to call out North UU Congregation and First Church, who on July 4th had a same-sex wedding day. Eight different couples who'd been together from 8 to 33 years celebrated. We had a family come in with flowers that just wanted to be there and participate in the day. And it was I wasn't there, but I keep hearing stories, and so, yay!
Mark, Lee, do you have something you want to tell people?
I'm sorry. Hi, I'm up here in the balcony. I'm Allison Fagan, and I go to North and was one of the folks privileged to be involved on same-sex wedding day. And I think there was so much joy, and it was such an incredible experience to be giving this to our community. I think my favorite moment of the day, so there's a family that showed up. I think there were 6 or 8 folk, little kids, like little kid to grandma, and like this whole family. And we like, oh, well, welcome. You know, who are you here to celebrate? Because we were kind of keeping like a time schedule so people would know when their family members were getting married. And they said, oh, we're not here for anyone in particular. And we brought flowers. Is that okay? And they hung out with us for about 2 or 3 hours that afternoon, and it was just awesome.
I'm Heather. I want to hold up all of the rights that LGBT folks are still missing and think about the work that we still have to do, even though this is a great celebration. And thanks. And I want to thank Reverend Lynn for being the voice in Northwest Ohio, on this issue. You've been a real leader, and I appreciate it.
Speaking on the dress here, Reverend Joe won't let me not speak. But anyway, we had planned before hearing the decision of the Supreme Court, my church, U Society of Cleveland, we'd already planned on having the 4th of July as a day, wedding day for same-sex couples. And then we were expecting to have a whole bunch of people, but it turned out we just had one couple, and actually I think we stole the couple from East Shore.
Stole them from us.
But but it was, and I don't know maybe if it was because it was one couple, but it was so special. So many members of the congregation came, and the couple, they were just, and it was only, I think one family member came with them, and so we were all there, and so now they're members of our church as a result. They've been coming, and they're like, we think we've found a home, and they've been coming every Sunday. So it was, like I said, we were expecting a whole bunch of people, but one couple, just the whole day was just so special, just one couple. So, okay.
So hi, I'm Deborah Boyd, and I had the privilege and pleasure of being at General Assembly this year when this announcement was made. And I have to tell you, there were ministers and laity who had been working on this for 4 decades. And we were very clear about how the very first pieces of marriage equality came out of Massachusetts, and the sign that was on the side of 25 Beacon Street that faced the State House in Massachusetts when they were the very first state that passed marriage equality. And the sense both of celebration and of very clearly looking forward and knowing that there are so many pieces of justice that need to be reconciled and made whole, to which we are called to work. But the celebration was palpable, and I have never seen a pop-up Unitarian Universalist worship service, but let me tell you, it was the most amazing 30 minutes that was not on the grid. There was a pop-up choir of over 100 people. There was an integrated thread of worship with 4 different mini sermons and singing at the beginning, middle, and end. And there were over 2,000 Unitarian Universalists at that pop-up worship. Over 40% of our community chose to participate then. And it was one of my most favorite and meaningful memories out of this last General Assembly. So thank you for being part of it.
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
You'll be next.
Sorry. I'm Jennifer. I'm with the Kent congregation, and my partner Lois. And I just wanted to say that how many people were on the march in Washington in 93? At the march in Washington in 1993 on D.C. So I was in college. What? Okay, but I was really little in 1979. Sorry, Vivian. But I went in 93, and it was a big eye-opener for me because I was in college, and I had never been to D.C., and I went into this. We were talking about yesterday, and it really brought back memories of going to a place where we were in the majority, where there was such celebration and such hope. And yet, even in all of that, I think I left D.C. and never, ever anticipated that in 20 years, suddenly, you know, rights would just be opened up overnight. I had a long journey through those 20 years, but towards the end of that time, I met Lois in 2005, and we found the Kent congregation somewhere in 2007, and we got married. We had a commitment ceremony in 2008, and we didn't know many people at the Kent church. We loved the church. We loved it. But both of the couples, both of the people that we did know are here today, Kathy and Kevin Kearns and Elaine and her husband, Bill Bowen. And it meant a lot to us to have you there. That was the start of our very long and wonderful relationship with our Kent community, and it's grown substantially. So we don't have to get married again, because after DOMA, we eloped to New York City and got married at All Souls, and it was lovely. But we celebrate with all the couples that have and the couples that will be, that we know, who have been families for so long and get to really recognize their family formally. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Hal Dixler. I've been UU and for 44 years. And I joined my congregation because they were so open and affirming to people like me. It was never a problem. I met my partner, Nick, in 1974, and in a little Jewish restaurant in Pittsburgh. We committed to each other in front of a lot of little gray-haired Jewish ladies. They were shocked. And we always, this is in 1975, and we always felt that we were a married couple, but it was in our heart. And again, we never thought it was going to happen. I've been to almost all of the marches on Washington, and I could see the movement growing. And by the last march in Washington, I knew that this was going to happen. But still, to see it happen, when the Windsor decision happened and DOMA fell, we felt we had to get married. Well, also, I'm at retirement age, and it made a difference because I'm on health insurance, and there are economic, besides emotional, things that are involved. So we eloped to Maryland, because it wasn't, at that time, it wasn't legal in Pennsylvania. The next year, well, the Republican governor of Pennsylvania did not do a stay on what the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania had, and that was great. Nevertheless, I felt that my friends here in Ohio couldn't get married, and there was something wrong with that. And really, this is the right thing, and the arc of history has finally come the right place for us as far as marriage, and I'm so happy. One more thing. On the day that the court decided, since we were already married, the way we celebrated, I bought some flowers and a bouquet for my husband, and then we all went out to dinner with his niece and my sister and our great-nephew, and we all just celebrated. It just felt good, just our little family.
Honey, Kitty.
Roan. So with the qualifier that Heather brought up, which I thought was really, really important, I want to describe a sort of profound sense of, I guess, what I could best describe as relief that I just noticed as I sat here in this room and as I see all of these wonderful same-sex and opposite-sex couples, that I don't have to, that as I look at these different couples, knowing that it's not, that it's represented, has just given me this profound sense of, I guess, relief. And that was just lovely, and I wanted to share that all with you.
Hi, I'm Christy Anderson with the Kent Congregation, and I was so proud of our congregation. On July 3rd, we hosted a day of free same-sex weddings, and our congregation hosted an all-day-long rolling reception for the couples, provided all the food, and lots of people just from the congregation came of all ages just to celebrate with the wedding couples. We had a member who's a professional photographer take photos and provide CDs to the couples of their photos. And I think one of the things that remains in my mind from that day is that one of the couples that was married, they were from a Christian church. None of the couples were from our church. And the bride even had on a necklace with a cross on it, but they had not been permitted to be married within their own church. They came to our church, and they have written us several letters since. They were so grateful. And we're looking forward to going back to their Christian church and proudly going in to announce that they were legally married. So I think it's the first step, you know, when people within a closed community have the courage to go forward and share that. And we were happy to be a part of that.
My name's Helene Roussey, and I'm from the First Church in Columbus. This is my partner, Denise, and we have two children, Shane and Gus, two boys. My one's Shane, yeah, right there. And we've been together 33 years, and it's been a real roller coaster that I feel like we're still on. We were at the march in Washington in 93, and there was actually a mass civil ceremony, and that was the first time we were married. We've been together 10 years. And then at our 20th anniversary, Mark Bellatini did a recommitment ceremony for us as a celebration. And then when it became legal in Vermont, we went to Vermont to become legally married in 2009.
The weekend was a Valentine's present from Helene.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. So... So, in any case, I never really thought that our marriage would be recognized in Ohio. I mean, we were married somewhere else, and yet our own state didn't recognize it, and in fact had a constitutional amendment that prevented it being recognized. When the Supreme Court decision came down, we were just in shock. I don't think that we reacted. It was like, okay, now what? It was even hard to be excited because we had been, you know, had these minor victories all along, and it was just hard to believe that this was, you know, a really big victory. And so then we went to the North Church. Allison talked about that. Yes, thank you, Allison, and the rest of the North Church, because that really made the boys were not able to be with us when we got married in Vermont. So they were with us when we went through the ceremony at the North Church, and that was really important to our family. But then we discovered that the roller coaster was still going because we've been together 33 years and our children were planned in our marriage and were born into our marriage. And if we had been allowed to be married in 1993 as we planned, Denise would not have to adopt our children, and we're going to have to spend thousands of dollars in order for her to get full rights as a parent, full rights that we should have had all along. So, you know, we have mixed feelings. You know, we have joy, but there's also, you know, a grief about, you know, all of the things that could have been had we had full rights all along. So there's still, you know, legal things to be worked out, and I want to thank everyone for their support because, you know, we're still going to need more support as we try to continue to get the rest of the rights that this ruling offers us.
And one thing about when I saw the ad in the article in the paper with Reverend Ritchie inviting people to come on July 4th, it's like, maybe we should do this. I mean, we don't have to because we're already married, but wouldn't it be fun and the boys could be there and it's all set up, you know? Don't have to stress out. And so we did it. We showed up and the boys walked us down the aisle, and it was really wonderful, and the congregation was great. They had people in the pews.
Yeah, the pews were full.
It's like, oh my gosh. And that's when it became, you know, really, really real and very joyous. And look, Shane's like dissolved in tears now. So, and Gus is in here, but I'll tell you, you know, Lahine says, fight's not over, you know, it's never over. And the next day when things started coming out in the paper with this group, you know, this person doesn't want to issue the marriage licenses, and this state doesn't want to do it, and this county doesn't want to do it. And, you know, one of our boys said, are they going to take it away? And that was his immediate fear. Are they going to take it away? So we have lots of work. But we've always had great support from UUs, and thank you all very much. Hello. Can I go next? I've been waiting. Can I go next? Is it all right? I'm Kat Gibbons, and I'll probably get a little emotional, but my daughter,
Yeah, I say it and then I do it. My daughter Molly graduated from Oberlin and met her partner here, Laura. They've been together 12 years. And they moved out of Ohio because it was so inhospitable for them here. And they went first to Vermont, and now they're in Madison, Wisconsin, with my only grandson, who's 15. And they bought a house, so they probably won't come back, but at least now they're legal here.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Wirtz. And over the years, we have seen personal friends and friends in our congregation in Worcester elope. And I'm so glad now that they can get married in our state. We live in Creston, right next door to Worcester, very, very conservative. In our little paper, there are, you know, these things should be on the religious page, but, you know, we are deep in the Bible Belt, it seems like. I was so happy to see that 6 ministers in our area in Worcester wrote a letter to the editor saying how wonderful it was to have the marriage equality law passed and that they were celebrating it, and it said they were committed to support and do all the things they could to be a part of the LGBT population. And they were all signed names, and our minister was right at the top, which was real good. But there was a two Presbyterian churches, an Episcopal church, I think a UCC, and I can't remember the other ones, but yay for us.
I guess it seems sort of wrong for something that has been so bad for many people for such a long time, for when it cuts loose and it's okay, for the rest of us who've kind of worked for it to have so much fun. So my daughter and I found ourselves at one of the first marriage ceremonies in Massachusetts, because we happened to be up there, and they said, anybody come and help us celebrate tomorrow. So we did, and we had an absolute ball. It was wonderful. When I'm in Baltimore, Maryland, and we were one of the first states to vote in marriage equality. There were 4 of them at that time, but there we were. So when I'm out, so after we had done that, people from our church got married who had been together for, well, they were in their 80s, so go figure, and sang from Gilbert and Sullivan as part of their vows. It was so cute. And so one of my youth, when I used to be on the district youth steering committee, has been with his partner, his girlfriend. He's their heterosexual. And they had decided they would not get married until everybody could get married. So they became engaged the day after the Supreme Court. And so it's been just this, it's really been a roller coaster. So one of the things that seemed to me to be kind of a lesson to come out of it that I'm not sure what to do with, I was going around knocking on doors and campaigning for the vote in Maryland, and I was in parts of town that where people didn't necessarily know me, and I'm knocking on, so I'm talking to this gentleman sitting on his porch on a rocker, and he starts telling me how I was not born that way. I had to have something happen to me to make me it stopped working. Oh, to make me change so I would be that way. And I'm kind of slow, guys. I thought he meant because I had this opinion. But, like, he thought I was lesbian.
And I couldn't decide whether it would be a better strategy for him to think I was lesbian, because people tend to be in favor after they know people who fall into that category, or whether it would be better for him to think I was lesbian, or I was straight and was advocating for this because he would listen to me more if he thought I was straight. And I haven't figured it out, except it's really, really clear to me that I probably can't do that with regard to racial justice.
What's your name and where you're from?
My name's Phyllis, and I'm from here in Oberlin. Alice makes me remember that my Facebook page has said for years that I'm in a civil union with Cal Fry, and I'm going to change that now. My daughter may never get married, but now she is, I've been telling people, she is now in the exact equal footing with her straight brother to roll his eyes when we go. So, but I wanted to say this to this community. My daughter got to have her first crushes and walk around SI with her girlfriend when she was younger and do all those normal things. And that you all helped create a pretty amazing bubble of normality for these kids, for all of them. And she went to Europe recently and came home, and she was in some little village, I can't remember where she was, and she said it was pretty conservative there. It was kind of weird. I couldn't hold hands with my girlfriend, and that has never happened to me before. And if you think about that, and with the people in the room, that you know, so I'm not saying things are perfect here, but I do want to say from the bottom of my heart and from all of the parents that love these kids, you don't know sometimes how magical this community can be in its ordinariness. Mm-hmm. And that's a gift you've given all of us.
Thank you. And I believe that Reverend Joe has some final comments.
Yes. So I just wanted to report in that the society has done now 4 marriages. The couples were together 27 years, 33, 33, and 33 years. That seems to be a magic number. And it's been pretty great to have the woman who has been serving as our lifespan development faith person do weddings, because she is licensed to do so and very happy. And she got on the news while we were here at SI. When Denise and I sort of found out the news, we had been waiting, you know, some years to make a decision about getting married. And we were pretty clear that we wanted it to be federally recognized before we did it, although I was kind of impatient.
Yeah, 3 years impatient.
Yeah, well, so when the person who spoke about going to GA, Debbie, really made me think about that morning. We got up, and I was like, with my iPad, did you see this news? And he's like, I'm just getting up, because I'm an early riser. Then we got to GA, and they asked all the couples whose marriage would now be legal or who could now be married to go to the stage. And there were, how many couples? Couple hundred couples up there. And it was pretty magical then to watch all the people who had worked so hard on our behalf out in the audience and then saying us out of love. It was pretty amazing. It was pretty magical.
And when we came down, Mr. Lund, yeah, so when we came down off the stage at the end of this, we were tackled by Kathleen Rollins, who was sobbing. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah,
And so we were really late getting to the plenary hall at General Assembly, because at 7 o'clock we were on our phones, on our computers, with folks in our congregations planning this marriage equality day for 4th of July. And by noon, my folks in Kirtland had this amazing day planned. There was a potluck and somebody baking little wedding cakes that people could take with them, and cupcakes and champagne and photographers and florists made donations and the whole nine yards. And by Wednesday, it became really clear that it was probably going to be a no-show, that nobody would be there. But along the way, between Monday and Wednesday, somebody had said, well, we need to get Lorna back. I'm sure a lot of you know Lorna Kramer. She was a force of nature, a real tireless, relentless worker for social justice, especially for LGBT issues in our congregation, for decades. And she's been living in a nursing home about an hour away for a couple of years. So we made arrangements to get her to bear witness to these weddings. And since nobody showed up to get married, it turned into a celebration for Lorna. And, you know, to me, that's really what it's about. It's really looking at all the work that we've all done, even when it seemed utterly impossible 3 decades ago. So we got to celebrate Lorna. So, you know, in a way, it was better than marrying people who might have felt like they were being rushed into something. You know, that's the great thing. Like, we know that in Lake County, nobody feels rushed to get married.
So the last thing I want to say is I've gotten emails from people who are also have concerns about what this will mean for sort of the dating structure in the LGBTQ world. Because before, the end game was living together, right? There was no thing beyond that for us. What?
She said, welcome to our world.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. So we've got a lot to learn. Like, we don't know what we're doing, you know? So we've got, we need a little more help teaching us those things, you know, because we don't know. But also, you know, we're not used to the pressure of that that step in our relationships. And I just wanted to bring that up as a way to kind of make space for that. Because, you know, I read an article where someone said, when somebody's transitioning their gender, they get to have a puberty where they wear clothes that don't look good on them and too much makeup, or like we all do, but younger, right? And in this, in a similar way, we need time to adjust this whole new idea that we actually can be legally married anywhere. You know, for those of us who are, well, my age, I'll speak for myself, it's still just been, what, 2 weeks? And I still, it doesn't really feel totally real yet. You know, I was prepared to dedicate my life to this man for 3 years now, at least. And the legal part feels a little scary. So we should make room for it all, is all I'm saying. Did you make a face?
Well, you know, the other thing that's... You know, the other thing that's been really funny for us, I think, is family. Like, when we told Joe's mom, when like a few days after we got back from General Assembly, like, no reaction, none at all. Just kind of like, okay. And I realized that this is a big adjustment for our families who never thought that this day would come. And I'll let you in on a little secret. We haven't told anybody in my family yet, which is kind of weird. Because, you know, like, probably 1,000 Unitarian Universalists know, and my parents don't know yet. So it's going to be interesting. We've got a lot to learn.
It is not on Facebook because we didn't want it to leak.
Yeah, thank God I come from a family of Luddites.
So it was suggested to me while I was handling the mic that we might want to close this time together by singing the hymn, How Could Anyone Ever Tell You You're Anything Less Than Beautiful, from the Teal Hymnal. We don't have it queued up, so I think we could just probably all agree to do our best and live with the imperfection of it. Okay? Do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say before we go?
No, but before we, so we're going to move on after to other exciting things after we sing. So I just want to thank everyone for coming and sharing your stories tonight. It was very nice. Thank you.
So please rise in body and spirit as you're able. Do a wave. That's great. And we'll just try this together. So be bold together. Nothing less than beautiful. How can anyone ever tell you you are less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul.
Go in peace.